mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Josh,
what did Chewy tell you during the break?
He's got one more thing and then we can put the conversation on Josh Jacobs to bed.
What's the only problem with that?
If you're watching on YouTube, you can follow us there, subscribe there. You'll notice his chair is empty. I'm looking at his white chair.
Put himself to bed?
His locker background. He was sitting here. I didn't hear him walk away. I don't know if he got distracted by a dolphin.
That's Kaiser, happened in the past.
Kaiser Sose. All right, well, whenever Chewy decides to come back to the show, I guess we'll get that final point that he wants to make. In the meantime, I want to pivot to your Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, hello, I'm back. I had to go potty. Can we just put this to bed after this little exercise?
I thought you put yourself to bed. Then I was wondering if you were swimming with the dolphins.
I forgot it was a two-minute break, not a four.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Now, I think I know where you guys stand on this whole thing. I certainly know where I stand. And I want to do an exercise. But I'm gonna use Joshy as an example.
Might change his mind. Okay? Who knows?
I think I know where I stand.
I'm gonna use Joshy as an example, but I want you guys to plug yourself into where I'm plugging Joshy.
Okay.
So you're telling me, if we had a company-wide meeting and Craig brought everyone together, New York, Cleveland, West Palm, L.A., Milwaukee, everyone is in a big auditorium, okay? And Evan is speaking, and he's talking about every show. And Evan comes to our show, and he says, great show. I love it. It's great, but we need to get a real producer. You're going to tell me that wouldn't offend you because I'm calling BS.
Are you talking to me specifically? Because yeah.
I'm saying plug yourselves into the situation. I'm just using you as the example. If he said, we need a real producer, you're telling me, Josh, you wouldn't be offended at that?
No, I would be offended, and I agree that those guys probably will all be offended, and I don't think they're necessarily wrong to be offended because that was a thing said in public. Do I think the comments of this specific situation, not the producer one, because they would never say that about me.
Thank you.
Do I think these comments are accurate? Yes. So if I put on my hat of somebody who's just, you know, talking, analyzing the Packers, his comments were correct. And then also the other hat of, I wouldn't want that said about me or, frankly, any of you three.
So then he's wrong in saying it. That's all I'm getting at. I'm just saying he is wrong in saying that.
I think we agree.
Yeah, I think we're all there that publicly he is wrong to say it. Like, yeah, that's a conversation best kept behind closed doors.
But we also don't know that he didn't already say this to the guys, to management. We don't know that this hasn't been discussed.
There's no way he said it to the guy. There's no way he went up to the receiver and said, I love you guys, but we need a real receiver.
Okay, again, you're getting caught on the real word. And that's
well,
what I think
real
we
is the worst part of it. Real means you suck. In my translation means you suck.
You got there.
I guess I'm willing to give someone the benefit of the doubt that he didn't mean that word the way that it was said, and that it was sort of it was in there, and then he tried to move past it, and they tried to kind of like rescue him. Again, there were a number of times that he spoke yesterday. There were a number of clips that circulated. The general theme was that these are the positions, and we mentioned them, defensive end, and he said corner as well, and obviously wide receiver, where the Packers need to upgrade or need to address, if you will, in the offseason, which to a man, everyone agrees with. It is unfair to expect Josh Jacobs to say something different in order to preserve some sort of quote-unquote code when he's being asked about the state of his team. And also remember, Josh Jacobs was on doo-doo teams. He sees the potential in Green Bay. He recognizes that they are close. It's just a few pieces. And maybe you can squabble about whether or not he should have said what those pieces are, or specifically about the wide receivers, I think we're all sitting here going, ah, man, saying the real thing is unfortunate. Don't think you meant to do that because that does feel like a shot. But the point stands that if those guys want to elevate to a number one wide receiver and think they can, by all means, guys, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and show us. You had the opportunity last year. Nobody did. So that's why I said the next thing of this, the next domino chew is going to be, what does Goody do about it?
I just think it's foolish to expect that these guys all in totality are going to accept his apology, because I wouldn't accept his apology for a second.
But at the end of the day, Chew, that would only hurt the team.
But saying this also hurt the team, because now you set up this team to deal with unnecessary drama. Like, we talk about how Bill Belichick, boring by design. Like, Mike McCarthy said that in the microphone. I'm boring by design. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to cause unnecessary drama. And even though this is a true statement, and I agree with it, it's causing unnecessary drama for the Green Bay Packers. He's making his head coach have to address something that he said. He's like, Matt LaFleur wasn't really planning. I don't know what Matt LaFleur is doing right now, but now he's got to deal with this. This is now on his plate that he has to deal with. And I mean, whether or not it was the right thing, you know, again, he's correct in his assessment of the Green Bay Packers roster. I don't think he needed to say it out loud.
I think you guys all know who I believe the most selfish player I ever played with in the NFL.
Yeah, you told us.
When he exited the building, I couldn't have been happier than happy. Couldn't have been happier.
Yep.
Sterling Sharp, by the way, for those of you playing the home game, the answer is Sterling Sharp.
Chewy doesn't want to say that, though.
And I love
him. But you've said
it before. I love him.
I think he was just hoping that people remembered from the last time he has said it and the time before that that he has said it and the time before that that he has said it. We do want to move on. We do want to talk about some other stuff, but I think that this is fascinating because it takes into account, obviously, the dynamics of the locker room, the dynamics of whether or not Josh Jacobs has earned the right to say these types of things, whether or not he misspoke. Maybe he just bleeped up, said the wrong thing, and then he was like, oh, crap, that came out. Look. As somebody who sometimes struggles with tact, I can be, right? I can be tactless. I think, again, we're talking about self-awareness here. I understand where you're like, ooh, it's not how I wanted to say that. And there will probably be ramifications from having said it that way. Hopefully, the benefits outweigh the ramifications, right? Like, that's the goal when you step out and say something that, as you know, Chew, might affect people and the way that they perceive you. So again, I guess I'm a little bit more like, been there, done that.
I'll be interested to hear Tausch's take, because my guess is Tausch is probably going to be more in line with me.
I think we're all in line with each other, basically. Like, a better way to say it, probably shouldn't say it, even though he's right.
Okay.
I also think there's a big element here of a bravado going on from a lot of people where, well, that's the reality. That's the reality. And it's like, yeah, but that's not how we all function. We have social norms. We have things, we have ways we operate in which we don't necessarily say the thing out loud that we would say in private. And that's the big difference here. Like, I don't think they should be offended because it's reality, but guess what? They are going to be, because that's human nature, and that's how we all function.
Already know that they're offended.
They made it clear.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the mafia. You don't sleep with another guy's wife.
Does that have to do with anything?
Why do we keep going to that?
That's a code. That's a code reference.
I don't think that's exclusive to the mafia.
Yeah. Nope. Prefer if Gabe didn't do that with my girlfriend.
For sure my wife would feels the same way, Josh.
I think that's just how we are.
All right, boobs are all right, but hey, you kind of crossed the line there.
It's pretty standard operating procedure from what I understand. But if that has changed, y'all let me know, okay? Ryan in Lake Mills, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Brian.
Poor Ryan. Follow that.
Good morning. A pizza place not having a good salad. Oh, there you go, Chewy.
Thank you.
You know, in a team full of twos and threes for the wide receiver, Romeo, what, is his feelings going to get hurt? He's going to request a trade or not show up again? You got another who could have been your one receiver, is out for three quarters of the year. He's speaking the truth. I'm sorry, it's kind of sick of how everything's got to be handled with kid gloves these days. Let's get back to, he didn't call them out specifically by name, but I like it. He's also helping recruit players for us. So I'm for it. I'm okay with it. And I really just, it just sucks what we've come to today, that everything is kid gloves.
All right. that you want? You have any coworkers you want to rip on the radio right now?
I can't hear you.
Any coworkers you'd like to rip on the radio right now? We'll give you the platform.
Hey, they're all doing a good job. Everyone is.
Interesting.
Yeah, sure.
Interesting. Sure. All right, wherever he works, they don't need a wide receiver one. Good to know.
Brian, we appreciate the call. 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless talk and text line. Lots of folks still weighing in on this. I would stand up and say, you're correct, Mr. Bossman. Chewy needs to do a better job of making me better. That from Ryan from Maguanago. I believe that was in reference to your Evan Cohen calling out the show / producers. But Matthew says, Chewy, the difference is that Evan is your boss, Josh Jacobs, and the wide receivers are on the same level. So it sounds like Matthew does take issue with the way that it went down. Dave from Aaron
Number
says,
one, I don't have a boss. I have one boss, and she's up in her office right now.
That's also Rich coming from the guy who had a meltdown because he got a scheduled meeting with Scalzo, and it was nothing negative. He probably actually got a raise, for being honest.
That's called being gun shy.
I forgot all about that. He had the meeting with the boss and he got a little nervous.
A little? No. Sweating bullets over there.
Hey, do you want me to invite you guys the next time I have another meeting with the boss?
Preferably no.
Yes. And you know what? Invite me. I'll bring popcorn. Because the last time you met with the boss, it was wildly entertaining. I am seeing this sentiment a lot on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, guys, and I just want to put it out there. Dave from Aaron says, I will say, maybe LaFleur should have the stones to say something along the lines of what Jacob said instead of always being the nice guy. There is a narrative, there is a perception out there that Matt LaFleur doesn't say the things, because we just talked about hierarchy, right? We just talked about the boss man versus the guys who are all on the same level of the flow chart. There is a narrative out there that he's not doing those things to bring people along, to call people to task when it's necessary. I don't know if that's true. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not in the building. I don't know if Matt LaFleur is not doing that. But there is a perception out there that he is not.
But Matt LaFleur's statement that he put in the locker room is evidence enough that states that players are insecure. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's understandable
it shows
why.
Insecure.
Right? NFL's not for long. That's what it stands for. Easy to see why players would get insecure.
What's the statement? What was the statement again?
Standard above feelings or something along that line.
Standards over feelings.
Yes, standards over
that's
feelings.
That's just saying that, hey, have a little thicker skin here because we're going to critique you as coaches and don't take it personally. You see what I'm saying? It's just, I mean, I know we need to put it to bed, but it's just my whole thing is it's not his place to say that. It's not. It's not. That's it. I'm done.
All righty. Perfect timing, sir. We've got Top 8 at 8 with Gabe Neitzel coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
X-Golf located in American Family Field. It is open during the offseason. That means right now. I know there's a little light dusting of snow here in Milwaukee. Kind of makes you think, man, who knows when we're going to be golfing outside again. Well, with X-Golf at American Family Field, you can be golfing indoors all winter long. With their state-of-the-art simulators, they make sure you get the numbers you need in order to improve your game. Maybe you need a lesson. Get one from their PGA Pro, my buddy Andy Barrett. And what's cool about X-Golf at AmFam Field is the location. Yes, it's in the ballpark, overlooking left field. And it's such a big space. If you're in charge of hosting that next corporate event or putting together that next corporate event, check out the space. Even if you're not a golfer, everyone is going to enjoy being inside the ballpark. So book your sim today, right now, X-Golf, AmFamField.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Turkey.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
list of eight things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up on that Car Blues Talk and text line 800-990-3776. The fan to get the last one on the list of eight wins the ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. So I came prepared today. I've got two. I'll leave it up to you guys. Do you guys want basketball? Do you want football?
Chew.
What's easier?
All right, football it is.
Thank you.
I am looking for the last eight NFC players to win Super Bowl MVP.
Ooh, so that takes Mahomes right out of
the... Mahomie. Okay. Ah, sugar.
Not feeling as confident?
I got the team. I think I got him. I think I can.
Whoa, little engine. I
could. It's either Stafford or Cooper Kupp. I'll take them both.
It was Kupp for sure.
Cooper Kupp, right, Kupp is number one on the list. Okay. He most recently won the Super Bowl MVP for the NFC in 2021.
So the tricky thing is, of course, at some point we're going to hit Patriots, and that doesn't count. So we got to go.
I think you should stick on former Patriots.
Oh, Tom Brady when he was with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, TB12.
They would have never thought of that.
Don't give Josh.
They would have never thought of that on their own. Brady's number two.
Great. Excellent.
I got an assist here from my guy, Benny Brucks.
What? He sent you a text?
Nick Foles.
What in the world is going on?
Nick
Foles,
you guys are cheating like bad. That's what's going on here.
I don't think that's cheating.
If Ben Bruss texts you an answer to a game we are currently playing, I got news for you, buddy. That's cheating.
Just keep it to yourself.
Yeah,
all right, Aaron
Josh Jacobs, keep
Aaron
it
Rogers.
To yourself.
Aaron Rodgers is number six.
Oh, shoot. Aaron Rodgers is number six. Eli Manning is above Aaron Rodgers, right? Behind. One, he's Eli Manning.
Is that a guess?
Yes.
Yeah, you're okay. Safe. You're
Eli
safe.
Manning won one before and after.
Oh, well, there. That's
Aaron Rodgers.
That's obviously why my brain was confused.
So Eli is number five.
You got one, Chew?
Hold on, Joshy.
Wait, Joshy, can you give me a
Malcolm one? Smith.
Malcolm Smith.
Did you tell him that?
No. Is number four on the list. You were talking about him earlier this week, Chew. You couldn't remember his name. So I don't know who texted you or who told you what his name is. But Malcolm Smith won with the Seattle Seahawks in 2013.
I know nothing.
Jen's now checking her phone to see if anybody's texting her.
No. I was checking to see if Bruss had texted all of us. That's what
she was hoping to get some answers from somebody the way Chewy's getting answers.
Jeez, somebody just feeding you the right
answers.
All right,
you guys so far have the top six. Kupp, Brady, Foles, Malcolm Smith, Eli Manning, and Aaron Rodgers.
Wow,
we just need seven and eight.
So Aaron Rodgers was 2010-11 season. Who won the Super Bowl before the Packers? Is Drew Brees on this list? Drew Brees is an NFC quarterback who won the Super Bowl. I feel like Drew Brees could be on the MVP list. That's a guess.
What, you always talk and like you're always trying to go fishing. You're Adam Sandler in, oh, are you going to the mall later?
No, Billy, I am not going to the mall.
Drew Brees is indeed number seven on the list. So we just need number eight.
Shane, I need a little more than Seattle defense question mark. What the hell is that?
Now everybody's texting Chew answers.
Is that Shane Blackman from our sales? One of our MCs?
All right, Chewy's eliminated for cheating. Tested him for PEDs. He popped. He tested positive. So he's out. You got any more, Jen? Do you have a guess at number eight?
No. Eli Manning was already guessed. Drew Brees was already guessed. Aaron Rodgers was already guessed. God, this goes back pretty far now. Because what year was Brees then?
Brees was 2009, the year right before the Green Bay Packers.
I got nothing. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to John in Milwaukee. John, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Can I get a recap?
So we have the first seven. We're looking for the last eight NFC players to win Super Bowl MVP. Cooper Kupp is one. Tom Brady, two. Nick Foles is three. Malcolm Smith of the Seahawks is four. Eli Manning, five. He actually did it twice. Aaron Rodgers, six. Drew Brees is seven. Number eight is...
Russell Wilson?
Incorrect.
Oh, good guess, though.
Let's go out to AC and Tosa. AC, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
AC, turn off your radio and talk to us.
AC going once.
7 seconds.
AC going twice. AC and Tosa, yes. Are you there?
Oh, give me... I forgot his last name, but his first name is Dexter, and he plays for Tampa Bay.
Need the last name.
Dexter. Jackson. Dexter Jackson.
Dexter Jackson is correct. He won Super Bowl MVP after the 2002 season with the Buccaneers.
A lot of folks weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, which you cannot win top 8 at 8 on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Kurt Warner. Did Kurt Warner?
He did, but that would have been too far back.
Okay, so that would have maybe been the next.
Yeah, that would have been number 9 after Dexter Jackson.
All right, good.
Yeah, Kurt Warner would have been number 9 on the list. And Desmond Howard would have been number 10 on the list.
Wow, back in 1996. Okay, good list by you. AC and Tosa, you're our big winner. And we are all winners because we get out in time to have a nice conversation about our guy, Chris Middleton, right after this. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit our great city of Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. It has deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, so you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Your Milwaukee Bucks got a win last night, 112-102 over the Hornets. But if you missed the game and you want to get caught up, you can do so with Bucks in 6. It's on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you miss any game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. It's Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. It was shortly after our show wrapped yesterday that the news broke that the Milwaukee Bucks did, in fact, make it happen, trading Chris Middleton. In this instance, he goes to the Washington Wizards in exchange for, well, mostly Kyle Kuzma. And there was a lot of reaction yesterday. I'm sure you were tuning in to 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee to hear all of our folks talking about it. Eric Name is our go-to when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks. Covers the team exhaustively and always has his thumb on the pulse of what is going on with the franchise. He was on Wilde and Tausch yesterday talking about what the trade of Chris Middleton, a longtime staple, a wonderful Buck, means for the future of this team. Take a listen.
I ultimately believe you've brought the ceiling of this team down this season, but maybe you've also brought the floor up because you think Kuzma will be on the floor and is not as big of an injury risk, a sit-out risk, as Chris Middleton going forward. So, I personally believe that their championship ceiling has lowered with this move.
Gabe, your reaction to what Eric said about the situation the Bucks find themselves in now, no more Chris Middleton, but Kyle Kuzma joining the team.
Yeah, I think Eric kind of hits the nail on the head, at least for me, because the Bucks are taking a pretty big gamble in trading away one of the best players in franchise history. And yeah, he's not Chris Middleton that he was in 2021, but I still think he could give you 20 solid minutes off the bench. Could you get 30 minutes out of Kyle Kuzma? Sure, but there's going to be a lot of high variance there. This guy's shooting career lows across the board, and his points per game is down 7 points from what was a year ago. And the Bucks seem to be taking the gamble that, oh, that's because he was on Washington. When he gets into our, you know, we're going to change that. So yeah, I think it's a huge risk for the Bucks because Chris has that chemistry. He has that relationship. We talked about it with Dame last year. And okay, it takes a little bit of time to kind of, you know, figure out how that piece fits. Chris didn't have that. And yeah, maybe Chris wasn't going to be available to you the way that you were hoping, but it's a risk that Kyle Kuzma is a piece that's going to fit and help the Bucks get to a championship.
What was the point then? Because if you don't get better, and again, we're not saying we have definitively decided that this move makes the bus less good as they were yesterday. It's not what we're saying. But it seems to me that this was all about the salary, or at least much about the salary. Because they were trying to get under the second apron, right? That was clearly a goal of this franchise headed into the trade deadline, so that they would have more roster flexibility going forward. So if that in and of itself was a goal that they were trying to achieve, you check that off the box and you go, okay, well, you did it. I'm not sure you made us better. I'm not sure it gets us to the NBA finals, but it did at least get us healthier salary-wise.
Unless they make another move corresponding with that today, it doesn't really matter. Being under the second apron, I guess, cool, the owners are paying a little bit less money in salary cap tax. But then, unless you make a corresponding move because you have more roster flexibility today before the 2 p.m. Central Time deadline, then I don't care that you got under the second apron. Then it doesn't matter.
Chew, your reaction to the move yesterday and if it makes the Bucks better.
Me personally, I would have rolled the dice. See, there's a part of me, though, that's like, maybe they know something we don't. You know, maybe the Bucks know that this thing's only going to get worse. He's going to become less available towards the end of the year. We don't know that, but let's say it didn't and the injury kind of stabilized itself. I would have rolled the dice. I would have said, you know what, let's roll the dice. Hopefully he stays healthy and then we have a shot. Gabe, my question is, why did Washington do it? They're picking up an old guy with a lot of money?
Because my guess is it's an expiring contract. They were asking less of Kuzma this year. They were doing more with around their guard play versus Kuzma, so his minutes were down. They gave him a four-year contract, so they might have a little bit more financial flexibility by acquiring Middleton and hoping he doesn't pick up his player option.
I mean, I don't feel great. Yesterday I'm like, okay. I'm not going to say it's over, but I really don't like their chances of winning the championship this year. My question is, and I was asking Joshy in the production meeting. I think you guys were gone. What does this mean for Giannis? Is Giannis getting to the point where, like, time to move on?
And what did Joshy say when you asked
him? That's the more important question. Joshy, I think you agree with me, right? He said it's certainly not any better today than it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We were discussing basically Giannis and his future in Milwaukee, and I said he's less likely today than he was yesterday morning. Now, I don't know how much that is, but certainly your best friend being shipped away and kind of looking at the team as it is, you have to consider it less likely that Giannis is going to be a Buck in each successive year. And it's a very, very, very big time for that front office and ownership to figure out how they are going to keep Giannis happy and keep this team towards the top of the East and competing in, to win championships.
Yeah, because you want to keep Giannis happy. I mean, that's first and foremost. To have any chance, you got to have Giannis on this roster. But they wanted to get younger. That was a big part of this, too. They wanted to be able to get younger, and Kyle Kuzma does that. I was reading something yesterday saying, well, the Bucks are hoping that he can provide a little more pace. They can get up and down the floor a little bit more in apparate and transition because he does have the younger legs. So maybe that helps them out as well. But again, it's a huge gamble on a guy who really took a dip this year in Washington.
So, Chu, I want to talk about that for a minute because it does appear that's what the Bucks are banking on. The Bucks are banking on that Kyle Kuzma can be the Kyle Kuzma he was with the Lakers in the first year in Washington versus the last 3 years in Washington. The last 3 years, though, Gabe used a great adjective yesterday to describe the Washington Wizards, which was what, Gabe?
Oh, that's an unserious franchise.
Unserious. How do you judge a guy who is playing for an unserious franchise? Like, we always talk about change of scenery. That's a phrase we use all the time with players. They just needed a change of scenery. Could it be as simple as that? That when you're playing for a franchise that doesn't seem to be committed to winning, you want to win, you sort of throw it into neutral. Why am I going to bust my butt for a franchise that obviously has no interest in doing the things necessary to compete?
Well, maybe they think they can rekindle that. You know, when he was with the Lakers, because now he's going to be contending for a championship playing with Giannis, there might be a little extra juice. I don't know, but just, listening to Gabe, you didn't like this trade at all.
No, I really didn't, because I thought that you should try to get a little bit more for a guy that you know fits. Yeah, maybe it's only 20 to 23 minutes a night, but you know it fits. You know the role he plays. And you know you can trust him with the basketball. You know you can trust him to make good decisions. He can be a playmaker. He can be a shot creator. that's not what Kyle Kuzma is. Like, you don't want the ball in Kyle Kuzma's hands as the shot clock's winding down to run the pick and roll with Giannis. And the Bucks, especially after, and they traded DeLon Wright, who was their backup point guard who hadn't really been playing, they don't have a lot of ball handlers right now. And trading away Chris kind of opens up that hole, which is why I think they are going to try to be active and maybe try to get something else done before the deadline hits at 2 p.m. today.
You into Marcus Smart, Gabe?
Absolutely not. No.
Do you guys think Giannis was in the loop? I mean, totally in the loop.
I don't think he was totally in the loop.
I don't think this was LeBron, though, with Anthony Davis. I don't think, because LeBron was, like, blindsided
sure
by that trade. You don't think so?
No.
Really?
Yeah. You think LeBron's getting blindsided for the first time in his career with the Lakers after they drafted his kid?
No. I know that's what Bill Plaschke thinks, who covers the Lakers out in L.A. I know he thinks that this was the first time in a very long time that he was not brought in for a major decision.
Yeah. There was also a report out there that Anthony Davis was given a 48-hour heads up that he might get traded. His agent is Rich Paul, who also represents LeBron and has the agency. So
here's the other thing about that, guys. Because Giannis, when he was asked about it yesterday, made it seem like he was aware. And again, it's not as though this was a secret. This was not the Luka trade where nobody really knew that this was mm-hmm. going down. This had been talked about as a possibility. There was potential there. Giannis pays attention. So he obviously knew that this was a possibility. When asked about it yesterday, he basically said, until it happens, it hasn't happened. And so he operates from the place of it hasn't happened yet. So I believe, and I think Giannis said as much, he was aware of it being a possibility. I don't think he knew that it was for sure going to happen. But I do think that it's just like anything else. There is going to be a transition period. There is going to be a shock to the system initially. And then you just get back to basketball. And then you just figure out how to play together with a new piece, with a new, hopefully, weapon. And you figure out how to win games.
But with that being said, Jen, should this have happened before the season even started? Was this a miss? Because we wouldn't be at that point now. Now we got to get to the point where they, play together and get chemistry. Certainly it would have been better if they did this at the beginning of the season.
I think it all depended on Chris's health and how healthy he was. You can't trade away an injured asset.
That's the thing. I don't think he would have cleared because he was injured at the beginning of the season, too. They couldn't have traded him. He went to a team that was acquiring him.
He wouldn't have passed the physical.
Yeah, they would have to waive, we know he's not going to pass the physical, but we're fine with it.
Just kind of feels weird. I don't know.
And yeah. And before we move on, because we got to get to Superb Owl Squares, I want to say this about Chris Middleton. I think that he was fantastic for the Bucks. And I said this yesterday on Around the Horn, guys. We all know they do not win the title in 2021 without Chris Middleton's Herculean efforts when Giannis was injured, basically carrying the team offensively. Mm-hmm. They do not win the title. And I know there have been conversations, debates about whether or not his number will be retired and all of those types of things. Certainly would be well-deserved. He is the all-time leading three-point scorer. Is that correct, Gabe?
Yeah, made the most threes, yep.
Third in points, third in assists. He deserves his flowers here in Milwaukee. All of those things can be true, and also it can be true that it was okay to move on. It can also be true that we respect and appreciate everything Chris Middleton did as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, and we understand the move and why the team moved on. Because Chris Middleton's availability just was not what it was at one point. And I think that from a business standpoint, it is okay to say, it's time.
It's a huge gamble because he was getting healthier. He was fine in the playoffs last year. He had a 40-point game in the playoffs less than 12 months ago. Averaged 25 in that series when nobody else was healthy around him. Like, he was getting there. He was getting back to a point where he was starting to be healthier and healthier. To me, it's a huge gamble saying that, yeah, this guy who's, yeah, he's younger. So, yeah, he's just going automatically, our culture is going to change him and make him into a player that we think can be a contributing piece. It's a huge gamble. It's a huge risk to trade away a player like that where you knew what you had. And yeah, maybe I'm with Name in that it lowers the floor, it raises the floor because Kuzma will probably be more available, but does he contribute enough at a championship level? Mm-hmm.
Where do we think the Bucks went wrong in the post-championship team building portion of all of this? Because you felt really good after that championship, and then the wheels kind of fell off to a point where the best option is trading probably an overaged, over-injured Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma. Like, it feels like they kind of got backed into a situation that they don't love and they're trying to dig themselves out of.
You probably need to take more steroids to stay healthy.
They got too old.
That's the biggest regret. They let them get...
But, like, was re-signing Chris a bad idea? Was the Brook Lopez.
But you have to re-sign those players because of the way the NBA works in order to have the salary to trade it to get something in return. Because it's not like if they would have just let Chris walk out the door. Like, that's 20 or 30 whatever million dollars that he signed for that you just don't have access to. Because they'd still be over the cap, and now you can't just go sign a $32 million player.
Should they have moved on earlier from some of these guys and made moves... Probably two seasons ago.
Younger.
Well, that's what they did with this move. They got Kuzma to get younger.
Dave and Aaron weighing in saying letting Drew go was the worst move.
Disagree. When you have a playoff series that ends with Grayson Allen with the ball in his hands, and he doesn't even get a shot off, they decided they needed a closer, and in order to get Dame, you got to give up something. Like, Drew, it's great for Drew that he won a championship in Boston, but he also was asked to be, hey, focus on your defense, be like our fifth option on offense. Just knock down a couple of shots, and he needed to be more of a shot creator for the Bucks. That one stung, certainly, but that one's more understandable because you got a top 75 player in return.
Let's quickly go out to the phone lines. Mike in Oregon waiting patiently to talk about the Kuzma trade. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I just kind of want to go back to what you guys said about change of scenery. And, I mean, you got to think about pass with working with Jordan Poole. I mean, he had a teammate punch him. So I'm not sure if I would be all that motivated playing with Jordan Poole. Now, switching to Milwaukee, you know, yes, it's a hope. But, I mean, man, when Kuzma was the number three, he sure looked pretty good.
Number three for a really bad team. Like, that's
was referring to the Lakers era?
Mike, I mean, thanks for the call. It sounds like he's just trying to be optimistic about the Kuzma move, right? He's just trying to, like, say, hey, and I think, again...
He was a valuable bench piece when they won their championship back in 2020. Coming off the bench, he was a valuable bench piece. That cannot be denied. It was also 5 years ago.
Silver Fox weighing in saying the Bucks window is closing. These are desperation moves, starting with the Dame trade. That hasn't panned out either. Bill weighing in on the YouTube stream saying the Bucks window is not closing. It is fully closed.
Oh.
That's a little sunny.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be optimism there and just hit me in the face with the exact opposite.
I gave you your dose of optimism, and then that was your dose of not optimism.
Reality.
Optimism. We'll take a break here. We got Superb Owl Squares coming right up. Get your dialing fingers ready. 800-990-3776 if you want to play Superb Owl Squares this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or no?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All right, another opportunity to join our Superb Owl Squares board. Let's begin with Sam in Kenosha. Welcome back to the program, Sam. Hello.
Trying to avoid going 0 for 4.
All right, let's go.
All right, well, see if you can avoid being Jim Kelly here in our Superb Owl Squares. Chewy's asked for tougher questions. This could be a tougher one. Who was the first left-handed quarterback to start a Super Bowl?
Steve Young.
That is incorrect. Right? Chewy is correct. It is indeed Ken Stabler.
Justin and Cudahy, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you ready to play Superb Owl Squares?
Yeah, let's do it.
Which quarterback owns the single game record for passer rating in a Super Bowl?
Passer rating in a Super Bowl. Let's go, what's the obvious, Tom Brady.
That is incorrect. It is Phil Simms, who had a rating of 150.9 in Super Bowl 21 against the Broncos. I'm guessing you did not know that one, Chew.
I was going to say Doug Williams when they beat Denver.
I'd love to know how many passes he threw in that game.
I mean,
that was Otis Anderson.
G-O-O.
In the backfield. Probably not a lot. 18.
I'm pushing buttons back here.
Let's go to Nicole in Erin. Nicole, are you ready to play Superb Owl Squares?
Ready as ever, be.
Saquon Barkley will join this club of one as a player to rush for 2,000 regular season yards in a Super Bowl winning season. So if Barkley wins, he would join this club. So who is the only player to rush for 2,000 regular season yards in a Super Bowl winning season?
Marshawn Lynch?
That is incorrect. It is Terrell Davis who rushed for 2,000 yards the year after. Thanks, he was the year after, Chew. The year after.
Still stinks.
Okay. So he rushed for it in 1998. They beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl that season.
Just really anything in the 90s. anything in that
isn't like positive to the Packers.
Nate and Aaron. A lot of folks from Aaron weighing in this morning. Hopefully, Nate, you can win Superb Owl Squares. Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Which Super Bowl champ owned the worst regular season record?
I have no idea. Warren Moon.
The Giants. They were 9-7 in 2011. The Giants were the correct answer.
Well, you wanted tougher questions, Chew. I think you're getting it. Bill in New Berlin is next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you ready to play Superb Owl Squares?
Sure.
Who is the all-time leading touchdown scorer in Super Bowl history? Person who has found the end zone the most in Super Bowl history.
Non-quarterback. I'll say Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice is the correct answer.
Nice!
8 touchdowns for Jerry in Super Bowl appearances.
Congratulations to Bill in New Berlin. You're our big winner this morning on Superb Owl Squares. Tomorrow will be the last chance you have to join our board for the big game. So make sure you have your dial-in fingers ready at 7:45 and 8:45 tomorrow, the last day of the week, headed into Super Bowl Sunday. We got a lot of questions here. Chew, you want me to throw you a couple before we go?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that was exciting. which city hosted Super Bowl I on January 15th, 1967?
L.A.
Very good. Who is the only quarterback to lose two Super Bowls before turning 28 years old? I didn't know this one.
John Elway.
Yes, Chewy!
Yeah.
He knows his history.
You're very good at
this. He always gets on everybody else for not knowing their history, so he's backing it up right now.
I love it. Okay, I got more here. Okay. Who is the only player to rush for 200 yards in a Super Bowl?
Was it Terrell Davis? I know they didn't throw for crap.
Timmy Smith.
Oh, Washington Redskins.
Super Bowl 22 versus the Broncos. Good job, Chew. Andy Reid has lost 16 career playoff games. Who is the only head coach with more playoff losses?
Andy Reid had, say that again, 16 playoff losses?
Yeah, it says.
I mean, he's coached forever. They go to the playoffs a lot, so.
Yeah.
Bellyache? Belichick?
Don Shula with 17. Hey, you know what we were talking about yesterday on Around the Horn was your Mount Rushmore of coaches in the NFL. And on my list, I had Belichick. I had Andy Reid already on my Mount Rushmore. I also had Chuck Knoll, and I had Don Shula. And I was saying modern era, Super Bowl era. I know, exactly. That's why they were like, Vince Lombardi. Is that why you're looking at me like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I said modern era.
Oh, because he didn't win the first two Super Bowls and the trophies named after him?
I know. I'm sorry. I was just thinking like more recently, and that's when Woody was like, oh, so we should just take George Washington off of Mount Rushmore then.
Correct.
Because he was so long ago.
Stand with Jimmy Woody. Johnson?
Yeah, Woody's right.
Jimmy Johnson was also one that was put on someone's Mount Rushmore. Not mine, but someone's.
Yeah.
Honestly, Chew, with Jimmy, I wonder how good he could have been. And he's a Hall of Famer.
If he stayed.
If
what about
him and Jerry didn't have the bleep measuring
Eagle
contest.
Off.
Yeah.
Ego off is
Bill,
a good one.
Bill Walsh? No, Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh was on someone else's Mount Rushmore, yes.
Okay.
It's very tough, honestly. What's yours?
Lombardi four times.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely, it
Lombardi,
does.
Lombardi, curly. Is that what you want to do?
Lombardi four times. I got to make up for you going on national television representing Milwaukee by not even saying Lombardi.
I got another one for you, Jen. Another one. Joe Gibbs.
Gibbs was also mentioned. George Halas was mentioned. There's a lot. You could go with a lot. It just depends on what metric you want to use, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, everyone should have, to me, the two that should be on the list are Lombardi and Belichick. And then the last two are up for grabs.
All right. We got to get going here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great one, everybody.